Thank you for joining us this week at Praise Chapel Paramount. We hope you enjoy this message from our midweek service with worship leader Omar Lopez Jr. Also, we'd love to hear what God has done in your life. To share your story, email us at info@pcparamount.org. Again, we hope you enjoy this message.
All right. How's everyone doing tonight? All right. I'm glad everyone's fine and dandy. Wonderful. Let me open this up. You know, I'm just surprised they let me back up here. Like, it must have been decent last time. But I'm really excited to be sharing tonight. Honestly, it's always a privilege to be up here and share what God's put on my heart and to share with you all. And so hopefully tonight that you are touched, that you receive something tonight. I feel like I've got a word tonight that I think can apply to everybody tonight. I want to talk about something that's important, I believe, for every single believer. When you grasp this concept and you understand it and you apply it to your life, it changed the way I interacted with the Lord. It changed the way I perceived just my relationship with Him going forward in my walk with God. It really helped me to understand how we engage with the Lord and walk with Him. So to turn to somebody and say, open up. Open up. I like saying these phrases. Just something, because it applies to a message. Turn to somebody else and say, open up. Open up. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the heart. The heart. The heart is something that you don't see, but you know you need it, and it's needed for your life, right? Like, without the heart, you can't live. There's blood that doesn't pump through your body. But really, when we talk about the heart, we talk about our innermost self, our desires, our real motives, not just what we say to everyone else about who we are, but it's hidden. And I think when it's mismanaged, it's the one reason why it's sometimes hard to worship, hard to connect with the Lord. It feels like there's a blockage, right? It can be a little fuzzy. Sometimes when it's mismanaged, when you're not doing well, you don't want to engage with other people. You don't want people to see who you really are. So sometimes you shy away. Sometimes you put on a mask and perceive yourself to be something else, or you just avoid people or you avoid other believers because you don't want them to know who you really are. Because really, like a lot of people, you don't know the real me, right? You don't know what's really going on. So if you really knew, you wouldn't like me. And so we shy away. But really, our hearts are supposed to be open and transparent. And it really applies to our walk with the Lord and as we work it out with the Lord. So after giving your life to Jesus, at any stage of a believer, it's important to engage your heart with the Lord, to open up. And so, again, say one more time, open up. Everything you do is determined by what's going on inside. Everything, every desire, everything, however you talk to somebody, when you wake up in the morning, when you talk to people, any interaction you have, and as you go by your day, as you live your life, as you make your choices, it's all affected by what's going on in your heart. So this helped me with my walk with the Lord. So let's just pray. And as we pray, let's lift our hands. Let's as a sign of like surrender, as a sign of receiving from the Lord. Let's go tonight, Lord. Thank you tonight, God, that you are worthy. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy above everything else. God, we desire to know you. We desire to give you glory, to bless you with our lives, to bless you with our hearts, to bless you with how we speak, how we talk, how we engage you. Lord, we pray that you'd minister to every single person here, that in whatever area they need a touch, they need a word. I pray that you'd give it and you flow in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Verse 1, and I think it's in the NIV, New International Version, says this. It says, in the spring, at the time when the kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. Say that. But David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from their monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, I am pregnant. So David finds himself in trouble here. And we've heard a lot of messages on this passage of Scripture. There's a lot of angles you can take, and I've heard a lot of messages. But one thing I want to bring out from this is David was clearly not where he was supposed to be. If he had gone to war, none of this would have happened, but he was not where he was supposed to be. He wasn't positioned in his proper place. And so point number one, if you're writing notes, your position determines your direction. So David was king of Israel, and he should have been in his proper position as king, going off to war. But because he was not in his proper position, he was actually vulnerable. He was outside his guide. He was outside of his proper lines of where he should have been positioned. So therefore, he was vulnerable to his own temptations. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Bless you. Who really knows how bad it is? You're welcome. Let me say that again because I think we didn't hear any of that. It says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Do you wonder why sometimes you're always tempted with the same thing over and over and over, and it's so easy to fall into that temptation? And let me make something clear. Like, we're all tempted by something. Or there's always something being thrown at us, but at the same time, I feel like if you're constantly tempted to the same thing, maybe it's because you're going to the same places. Maybe it's because you're looking at the same things. You're allowing yourself to engage in those kind of environments. And it's if you're constantly tempted and so easily tangled in those temptations, in those sins, then it's probably because you're not in your word, you're not reading, you're not, again, like, if you want to avoid your heart, so you're not engaging with other believers, you don't want to interact, you don't want to open up to them, it's because you're outside of your proper guidelines. There are safeguards that the Lord's prepared for us through his word. He's given us his word. We know everything there is to know about the Lord that he wants us to know is in his word. In his word. And then through prayer. If you're praying, you're engaging with the Lord. The Lord, you're allowing him to speak. You're not just having a simple conversation. There's a dialogue. The Lord's speaking to you. And he corrects you. And so if you're not doing that, if you're doing those things, you're in your proper position. And you're setting yourself up to be on the right course, to be in the right direction. Number two, your posture affects the flow. Your posture affects the flow. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Let me read it in the Passion. It says, so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. You see, our heart is everything to the Lord. There's a flow that happens. As there's a flow that happens in our heart. There's a stream. There's a river. I'd like to describe it as that. I was thinking about it, like a flow. I was thinking about how there, sometimes when in a sink or in a shower, you turn it on and there's a flow, right? As the water comes down, it goes through the drain. And there's a flow and it's a constant. It's a constant flow. But if there's a little clog, for instance, in the shower, you turn it on and you're taking a shower and all of a sudden the water begins to rise. It's because there's something backing it up. And it's the most annoying thing, isn't it? When you're just like taking a shower, it's like you're splashing. You're like, it's supposed to be empty. There's supposed to be a flow that happens. and it backs up. And what's interesting, though, as if in a shower, there's actually you're cleaning yourself and actually in the water becomes murky, becomes dirty, and it actually backs up. And it's like our hearts, when we block it, there's all kinds of stuff that begins to settle in and begins to corrode and cover everything, and there's no flow, and you wonder why you're just agitated all the time, and it's fuzzy. It's because you've blocked it. You blocked yourself. And the only way to do that, the solution is to take and remove whatever's blocking it. You have to clear the pathway. So it's the same way with our hearts. God has designed us to be in a relationship with him because he's life. He's the source. Pastor Rudy mentioned this a couple weeks ago. He says, John 15:5, you read it in the Passion. I am the sprouting vine and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. So as we stay connected to the source, we allow him to purify. We allow him to clean. And as the water streams and comes down, it takes all the filth with it. There has to be a constant flow. That's why he says, remain in me and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So apart, we cut out the source, we get everything that we are, and it's filthy. You see, you are more spiritual than you think. We're created to be constantly filled and sustained by his presence. Constantly filled and sustained by his presence. I know what it is to just... You ever not pray for a little bit, and you just... just murky in your head, and you just can't think straight, and you actually feel like you're by yourself, even though you know the Lord's with you, but you're full of yourself. And the key to get away from that is to worship, to go before him in prayer, and he cleans you up, and you're then connected to the source. You know, like one of these, I really wanted to speak on worship today, but I felt the Lord going here. But I do want to say this about worship is, when we come to, like tonight, like any service, it is a perfect place to connect with God. That's why we don't just sing songs. We actually go before the Lord in worship. We say, okay, we put everything outside, we put everything away, and we worship Jesus. We connect with him. This is the place. And that's why I like to, that's why like sometimes we'll have a prophetic song or a spontaneous song, because it's a genuine response to the Lord. We're not just singing the lyrics because those are the lyrics of the song. It's an actual response of worship to how great he is. And sometimes we'll have, sometimes when the music is just playing, we want to say in a spot because the Lord is doing something, and we don't want to interrupt anything that God's doing because he's touching each and every one of our hearts. And there's certain areas that we sing about because we're actually engaging with him. It's not, I just want to make it clear, like we're engaging with the Lord. We're touching hearts. We're touching his heart. He's touching our heart. And it's a spiritual thing. So you're not just, your body is not just flesh and blood. There's actually, you have a spirit within you. You do. you do. And so for me, one of the things that helps me is speaking in tongues. These are just side notes because I really want to say this. Speaking in tongues for me, it really helps because sometimes I don't know what to pray for. I don't know, and like Romans says, like you don't know what to pray for, so the Spirit prays for you. But really, like it helps and stir something up within me because I'm letting go. I'm releasing my own ability to rely on my own self and allow the Lord to pray through me. And really, it changes me. It changes me. And so if you've received the gift, I encourage you, practice it. Practice it. Practice it. It's just practice. Like, all right. I feel like I'm done there. But really, just practice it. A worship leader, Jonathan Stockstill, said this. He's actually a pastor too. He says, the way you're used by God is affected by your heart. Your happiness is affected by your heart. Your decisions are being impacted by your heart. Whatever is deep inside of you, that really is making your choices for you. Your destiny is impacted by what is going on in your heart. And I like this last statement. He said, I will be used by God according to the status or state of my heart. See, God is wanting you. He wants not just what looks good to other people. He actually wants you. He wants your motives to be pure. He wants your integrity to be whole. He doesn't want you just to put on a show. Read Isaiah 1. Write that down. Read Isaiah 1. He talks about that. He doesn't want Israel's putting on celebrations, but he doesn't want that at all. He wants their heart. He wants a purity. He wants holiness. God is not looking for actions or religious duties. Those are all surface level. He wants your heart. Yeah, I mean, you can post, there's nothing wrong with it, but you can post all the scriptures and quotes on Facebook and Instagram all you want, but that's not what God is looking for. That's not the point. He wants you. That's not to say don't post something that the Lord spoke to you. I'm just, he wants your heart. Matthew 15, 8 through 9 says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Number three, you're only limited by your surrender. The way God uses you, and to the extent that he works in your life and he's using you, is really up to your surrender to him. I remember, most of you know, like a lot of you know, that a couple years ago I went to Bethel. They have a worship school, a school of worship, and it lasts for 2 weeks. I shared this with the Cornerstone and the Collective, and I was really excited to go because, you know, I'm sure we all watch their YouTube videos of their worship, their spontaneous stuff, and we're all inspired by it. And like, of course, that their ministry really had a big effect on the way I lead worship and in my life. And I was really excited because I wanted to be just in their environment, be in the church, be around them. I previously watched their teachings on YouTube, but I wanted to be a part of it. And so I went over there. I went with seven other guys from across the country, and we rented a house, and one of the guys from the UK, and it was amazing. We connected, and it was really good. And I went with the intention to really receive practical tips, how to lead worship, how do you lead a team, how do you get a song set together, like all those things. Like, oh, like I want to. How do you do what you do? Because I think it's amazing. Like I want to pick that up, right? But the Lord had other ideas. Like he wanted to deal with who I was on the inside, my identity, really to do with my heart. And it's funny because like the other guys, the Lord was speaking to them about it too. And so it was about the third day. It was a morning session, and it was the afternoon. And so I was walking to the restroom, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, "You know that thing?" I said, "Yeah." He's like, "I want it. You need to surrender." And it wasn't that big of a deal, really. But you know, like I didn't, up to that point, I had not said that. Later, I've not said that, but I said no. I said no. And like I quickly forgot about it because if I don't think about it, then I'm not guilty. So then I'm like, no, okay. Then I went back to my seat. And when I went back to my seat with a few minutes later, Brian Johnson, he walked up on stage and he had like tears in his eyes, and it was like really serious. You know, this was spontaneous. And he went up on stage and started sharing about a team member who was obviously not there for that week or the weeks there. And he was sharing how he's actually, he's had a struggle, but instead of really looking for help, he's embraced his bisexuality. And we believe that's not pure, that's not holy, that's not the proper lifestyle to live in according to scripture. But he's chosen to embrace it and not seek counseling. And so that moment, the Holy Spirit like kind of interrupted that class, and somebody got up there, they're sharing about how there are things in our lives that we don't address in the beginning when the Lord speaks to us, it can actually derail us from our destiny. And for me, up to that moment, like my prayer was always to say, "Lord, like at the end of my life, I don't want to say I didn't fulfill the call that you have for me. Like, if I die, I want to say that I tried and did everything I could to fulfill what you've placed for my life, what you put in my heart, what you put in my life, the plans that you've written out. Like, I want to do the best that I can, and I don't want to derail. I don't want to fall off that." And for me, like that little thing, I was like, "Okay, Lord." And so we, like, everyone went to the altar, we bowed before the Lord and surrendered. And I realized that there are just little foxes that spoil the vine, little things that we need to get rid of because it can take us out. It can completely derail us from our destiny. See, God already knows what's in your heart. He sees everything. And I think a lot of us know that. You can't really hide from him. but he's asking us to allow him to show us what he is seeing. Because you want to adjust what's not identified. If it's ignored, then you want to address it. You want to talk about it. You must scrutinize your heart. You must examine. You must say, Lord, cleanse me. Like David says in Psalm 139:23, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my ancient thoughts, my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends me. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Say, search my heart. Examine me. Lord, look in the deep, look inwardly in those crevices and in every single area of my heart. Like, make me pure. What is the status of your heart? You have things that you've never dealt with and you wonder why you haven't been able to be used in those areas that you've been wanting to. What is the status of your heart? Judgment Day, Judgment Day is going to be determined by your heart. Our deeds, everything that we do for the Lord is going to be laid out and put through the test. And what's left over is our pure deeds, what we actually did for the Lord in purity and holiness. God uses worship to reveal your heart. God speaks in moments of worship. Why? Why? Why is worship so important? Why is it the first thing that we do when we gather together? Why? Why is it? Because God uses moments in worship because it's the moment that we're not distracted by anything else. When we look to him, he comes. When we focus our hearts on him, he comes. Jesus said, when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And so there's a lot of us here together. And it's when we come to worship, when we come before him, we put everything else aside. And his presence comes, and his presence reveals what's in our heart, whether it's pure, whether there are things that we need to deal with. He wants to know us on that deep, intimate level, to speak to us in that place. I remember a number of years back that I was, my parents had gone somewhere, so I was like, I was by myself, and I just started to play the piano, because I don't often play, and so I was just playing, and then I decided, you know, I'm going to sing for the Lord. I'm just going to sing because I haven't done that in a while on the piano, so I'm going to do it. So I began to play, and all of a sudden, I found myself, I guess in a way, prophesying over myself, because the words that I was saying was actually speaking to my heart. And I begin, like, I was like, what the heck is going on? Like tears begin to well up. I'm like, what? And what the funny thing was, it was in areas that I had no idea that I needed healing in. Areas in my heart that the Lord wanted to speak to me. And it's funny because I'm like prophesying over myself, which I don't know if I've done that since, but I begin to bawl. I begin to weep and cry before the Lord. Like, I just like went on the floor and just started weeping, and like I had an encounter with the Lord. His presence heals, and it's his presence that is the one thing that we need to sustain our hearts, to heal our hearts, to make us to help us walk with him. It is our that's why our hearts are so important. He wants it. When you open up to him and you allow him to burn away all your impurities, when we say, like, purify my heart, whatever is in there that does not align with you, take it out. You then respond in repentance. Think about this. Bill Johnson shares a story, and he says, if you take two guys, one guy has been coming to church all his life, And you just take his life at a starting point, and you say, for the next year, you're going to look at his life. He's just going to come to church one Sunday a week, and that's his engagement with the Lord. That's his walk with the Lord. He comes to church on Sunday. Then you take a new believer. He's just given his life to the Lord, and every single day for 1 hour, he spends time with God. Who's going to be more like Jesus? It's going to be the latter. Because when you allow the Lord to work on you, when you spend time with him, he makes you more like him. Is it really that simple? Yes, it's really that simple. Do you ever come out of Well, if you ever come out of prayer or time with the Lord or service and you just feel like, man, it feels good. Like, I love Jesus. I'm happy. And you're nice to people. And, like, the fruits of the Spirit are coming out. And, like, you're not angry. And you're, like, you're kind. Something bumps in. You're like, oh, yeah, no problem. Like, you just feel good. Well, that's the attributes of the Spirit. That's like Jesus. The key was you spent time with him in his presence. You expose yourself. You expose your heart to his presence. And that is the key. Surrender is the key. You open up. And when that happens, obedience is then your response. Because you're not thinking about your own self. You're thinking about others. You're thinking about pleasing God. And that's satisfaction. That is satisfying. And I think sometimes... some of us want an encounter with the Lord. I feel like I'm going everywhere, but I hope this is helping you. And I'm actually ending here, so why don't we get the worship team to come up. A lot of us want an encounter with Jesus, right? There's some of us that really haven't experienced a touch from the Lord, or you're just looking for an encounter with him. And I'll read you an excerpt from William McDowell's book. It's called It's Happening. He's talking about the posture of your heart. He says, and I shared this actually with our worship team, so I want to share it with you tonight. He says, our true posture in worship is tested when our humanity encounters God's divinity. Worship acknowledges one greater than we are. Our posture during and after encounters with God reveals much about our hearts. When we don't worship from a place of self-denial, we can become prideful and think we can come up with some formula to invoke God's presence. That's not how worship works. Worship is a pathway, invitation from God to be positioned for encounters with him. I like this. He says, encounters are of his choosing, not ours. But worship positions us for them. God is not in our presence. We are in his presence. This is key to understanding our posture in worship. It is an honor to be in the presence of the Lord. So our jobs, it's not to try to manufacture his presence. Our job and what we can do is position and posture our hearts to worship the Lord. Those special encounters that we have with him are of his choosing. He decides when those happen, but our responsibility is just to open up, posture our hearts to receive from the Lord. And that's what we do on the daily. And I think many can say, I'm not going to say the majority because I'm not going to assume that. There are some people here that you can honestly say, I've disconnected myself from the Lord. I've disconnected myself from the Lord. And that's why it's hard to live for Jesus. That's why I'm still struggling with this, because I haven't connected with the Lord. I haven't surrendered. I haven't opened up. Surrender is the key. It's where you silence everything else and allow him to speak to you. You allow the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn away, to challenge you, to speak to you.
Hey, thanks for listening to this week's message from Praise Chapel Paramount. If you want to stay connected, follow us online with Facebook and Instagram at PC Paramount, or visit our website at praisechapelparamount.com.